Shalom, everyone. Israel and Hezbollah's ceasefire is still holding, but barely. Qatar has resumed its role in negotiating with Hamas for the hostage release. Internal politics are heating up in Israel against Netanyahu again. Biden has pardoned his son, Hunter. More pardons are coming. Syrian rebels capture Aleppo against Assad in Syria. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, December the 6th of the year 2024. Our year is almost complete. And here's the news for the week. The Hezbollah ceasefire that's going on in Lebanon is still holding, although there have been activities. Hezbollah has fired some rockets. Israel has responded immediately. And maybe you were thinking that this was a ceasefire that was going to go on for some time. Actually, it's not. It's a specific planned ceasefire only for 60 days. It was forced by the Biden administration on Israel. They were able to get Hezbollah to agree to it. And Biden basically told Israel, if you don't agree to this 60-day ceasefire and the removal of your forces from Lebanon, the U.S. will cut off all military aid to Israel. That was the deal that was put on Israel. Now, that plan is only for 60 days. Hezbollah has to move north of the Latani River. Israel has to leave Lebanon. And they're expecting the Lebanese army to come into the southern part of Lebanon and form a buffer. The problem with the Lebanese army is that for the most part, they have been allied with Hezbollah. And so there's a lot of the Lebanese army that is sympathetic to Hezbollah, and we'll just have to see how successful that is. Even with the U.S. and its panel overviewing what's going on there, this is a very temporary measure that is going on in Lebanon. The strength of the Lebanese army is what is the great question, along with the U.N. peacekeepers, because to date, they haven't been able to be successful. And the reason we have the conflict that we've had with Lebanon has resulted in the Israeli army going into southern Lebanon. At the moment, the belief is that half of the Hezbollah arsenal has been captured or destroyed by the IDF. Some nearly 4,000 Hezbollah fighters have been killed. The Israelis have gone in and destroyed the tunnels and the network they had built close to the border. Qatar is now hosting some of the Hamas officials to continue the negotiations. If you'll recall, last week, Qatar kicked Hamas officials out of the country because they were not negotiating in good faith. But as a result of Trump coming in and making his statement that they better release those hostages by January 20th or all hell will have to pay, essentially, they have renewed their efforts to start the hostage negotiations. So Qatar is now getting involved, representing Hamas. But on the other hand, Egypt has put together a proposal, a humanitarian-type release, essentially what they've gone in and said to Hamas, look, let's release all the people that are over 50 years of age, all the children, all the women, for a temporary ceasefire. And let's remove them first and in an effort to get some of the hostage negotiations moving. We believe that the hostages are still being held in tunnels and in individual homes of Palestinian citizens, and Egypt is making an effort to do the humanitarian part, whereas the Qatar is trying to get to the Hamas operatives and try to get them to negotiate and release as well. How many of those hostages are still alive? Right now, the consensus is it's definitely less than 33 out of the 101 hostages that are unaccounted for. The IDF this last week determined that six hostages that had been recovered in August, their bodies recovered, the question was whether or not they had died because of the IDF bombing that was in Khan Yunis, or were they murdered? And they've now been able to determine, no, they were murdered. They were all shot by Hamas people. The IDF is obviously putting more pressure on Gaza trying to go from place to place to see if they can recover hostages, see if they can find the last pockets of Hamas people. They reported this last week that they had killed a particular Hamas official. This is the one that was in charge of internal security within the Hamas organization, and he was a rather infamous person who used to torture fellow Palestinians. So when the word came out that he had been taken out, I'm sure there were some Palestinian citizens that were actually happy to hear that word. IDF was successful in taking him out. Hamas organizationally is literally at the state of collapse. The different pockets of where Hamas is at are highly isolated, and this is what is contributing to the difficulty of being able to conduct negotiations, because you almost have to go from point to point to point wherever the Hamas people are at with the hostages for it. Turning to activities that are happening inside of the land of Israel, particularly in the Palestinian areas, there's been quite a bit of activity with the Palestinian cities in the West Bank. A number of terrorists have been killed there. There is still Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad operatives operating in that area. And they're not even getting along with the other Palestinians very well. In fact, the Palestinian Authority, which has the police force in the area, are complaining that these terrorists have stolen some of their vehicles. So now the Palestinian Authority is even fighting against them. And obviously, the incoming administration of the United States, coming in with their very pro-Israel position, is really putting the pressure on all of that activity going on in the West Bank area. Not the least of which is this last week, we've heard discussions going on about the possibility of the annexation of the West Bank. That would mean all the areas of Judea and Samaria would come under Israeli control, be one nation. There would be no more talk about a Palestinian state. And I might just add that from the very beginning, and this has been kind of a myth that the world has been believing in, is the Palestinians have never been striking out and trying to get a Palestinian state. That's never been their goal. Bill Clinton, former president, shared that when he was in negotiations with Arafat and they were on the brink of handing Arafat a Palestinian state, Arafat turned it down. And the reason he did was because the Palestinian position, the Palestinian terrorist position, is to destroy Israel and remove all the Jewish people from the Holy Land, essentially. And it's always just been an anti-Jewish movement as opposed to trying to be a state and a nation of themselves. When you become a state and a nation of yourself, now you have all kinds of problems you have to solve, and Arafat and the Palestinian leadership are only geared toward terror and warfare against Israel. Within Israel itself, in this last couple of weeks, internal conflicts, old ones and some new ones, have been popping up. They're primarily political. The October 7th invasion by Hamas is spawning all kinds of calls for an October 7th investigation. Why did the IDF fail? Did the leadership fail in seeing what was coming? Did they ignore the warning signs? And they want to hold an investigation and they want to hold people accountable. And the IDF chief has said once the operations are over with, he probably will resign as well. And there's probably resignations going to come within the Israeli government as a result of it. Adding to that, a conflict that we had even before October 7th has to do with the Attorney General and the actions associated with the Supreme Court's powers. The Supreme Court in Israel at the moment, the judges are almost autonomous. And in fact, the Knesset can be overruled by the Supreme Court. And they wanted to make some changes in the basic law of the country, caused all kinds of upheaval and protests with regard to making those changes. Some of those changes were coming primarily from the far right elements of the Netanyahu government. Again, that controversy is starting to rise up. Another old investigation about Netanyahu and his personal friends and receiving personal gifts and investigations into his behavior as to whether or not they're charging him with mistrust of the government and corruption, those activities are starting to come again. and Netanyahu is being forced to testify in those future trials. During the war, there was some intel leaks, and it came from a Netanyahu aide, and he is actually under house arrest. And there's a possibility that Netanyahu actually asked him to leak that stuff to the press to influence certain things going on. So that investigation is now going on. And of course, the hostage families who've been suffering for over 400 days with the loss of their family members have always focused their protest against Netanyahu and to bring down the Netanyahu government. Right now, the most recent polls in Israel says that if there was a head-to-head match between Netanyahu and Naftali Bennett, the former prime minister of Israel, that Bennett would probably win in an election for it. There's no election scheduled at the moment. Benny Gantz of the past war cabinet and Lapid, who's a leader also within the government, has always been taking chip shots at Netanyahu, and so that internal controversy is starting to rise up again. It's a little bit like President Trump, Donald Trump, when he was here in the United States and the press and everybody was against him. Well, we got the same thing going on against Netanyahu in Israel. President Biden this last week pardoned his son Hunter. It appears to come as a surprise just before Biden was going on a foreign trip. And it is pardoning his son Hunter for 10 years of possible lawless activity. And so basically the press is having a field day with this because he had sworn multiple times that no one was above the law and no, he was not planning on giving a pardon to his son. But in a way, everybody knew it was coming. It was just a question of timing. Well, it finally happened this last week. But the question is, what about other pardons? And in particular, there's discussion about Biden considering preemptive pardons for key Democratic leaders that were part of his administration. And as to whether or not he can pull that off and whether or not there'll be enough controversy to block him from doing it, we don't know yet. But there's a lot of stuff circulating around with regard to that. There are many people that are here in the United States that are fearful of any future investigations or prosecutions that come from a new Justice Department from the Trump administration, dating all the way back to when the FBI was doing misdeeds against the first President Trump administration. The things that they did with the FISA court, the falsification of information, false investigations, all of that kind of stuff brings great questions to the FBI and other Democratic officials, and particularly in the intelligence world. The Biden legacy is now in deep, deep trouble. The Dems are starting to turn against him, blaming him now for the loss of the election, the fact that he has been proven to be a blatant liar to everyone, and that his foreign policy is an absolute disaster for the world. Essentially, his policy could be coined by the phrase, be nice and do nothing. And if you remember, he used to make the statement to various people warning them, don't. Essentially, don't do anything. Don't take any action whatsoever. Well, that policy did not work, and we've seen a further escalation of activity over the last year in the Middle East. And Trump is not yet president, and yet has already started to turn things around. The reason is because we know the change is coming. It's fueling optimism, and the key phrase that's being used by most people talking in the foreign policy world is peace through strength. Now, back several years ago, we had a president who used to have a policy which was talk softly and carry a big stick. And I think that it was Theodore Roosevelt who coined that. Trump's version of that is talk loudly and carry a really big stick. And so that policy seems to be having an effect, and he's not yet even president of the United States. Shifting back to the Middle East. Surprise to everyone, the Syrian rebels, which have been quiet for some time, this was when we had the Syrian civil war against the Assad government, and Assad is still the president of Syria. The Syrian rebels have all of a sudden rose up and they captured the second largest city in Syria, Aleppo. And right now the news is they're on the move and they're about to capture Homs, or already have by the time I'm speaking to you. And it appears they're on their way to Damascus. Assad is definitely in trouble. There is a possibility the Assad government is going to collapse in Syria. What government will we have there? We're not sure, but the Syrian rebels are definitely coming against Assad. Russians have been supporting Assad, and Iran has just announced they're going to try to help Assad, because Iran has been using Syrian territory as a corridor to move arms into Hezbollah and all of their operations. And if Assad is taken out of the way, the understanding of how Iran was using Syria may go away as well. Israel is watching this situation very closely, because it's not for sure that the Syrian rebels are really that much against Israel. The Syrian rebels may, in fact, turn Syria around in a number of ways. Open conflict, and it started up again. Anti-Semitic acts continue to occur all around the world. Not this last week, a synagogue in Melbourne, Australia, was burned, and they're chasing down the people that did it. Several masked men were involved. Again, many anti-Semitic attacks going on in France and the United Kingdom. Tourists that went to soccer matches are being assaulted. Here on U.S. campuses, we still have anti-Semitic protests. We still have pro-Palestinian protests. And anti-Semitism has taken root here in the United States as we've never seen it before in this previous generation. The chief rabbis in Israel are calling for all Jews to immigrate to Israel immediately, to leave all the different nations where they're at. They're sensing the amount of anti-Semitism going on in the world. And one commentator, and I have to agree with him, says the days that we're living in right now remind them of the early days of the 1930s that led to the Nazis coming with the brown shirts and the Holocaust events that took place historically. Hanukkah is coming later this month, and it's going to begin on December 25th. It's coincidentally with Christmas this year. So the whole week between December 25th going into New Year's is going to be Hanukkah. Hanukkah is part of a nationalistic holiday. It's not part of the priestly calendar. So December 25th is when we're going to be observing Hanukkah this year. So let me give you pre-Hanukkah greetings, you know, for that. Thank you for viewing our program. Thank you for being a part of this broadcast and supporting this ministry. Continue to pray for the hostages and their soon release. Continue to pray for the transition the world is going through, and pray that success will come to the Middle East and peace will be coming. We pray all of this in the name of our Messiah. And again, thank you for viewing our program. Shabbat shalom to all of you.